All right, good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Guess what? Look down on the bottom of the screen. Job, series 187. First time ever done on television by this student of God's Word. So I hope you enjoy it. Remember, the word Job in the Hebrew means persecuted. And in a sense, as you're going to learn in this first chapter, God was very pleased with Job. I mean, he was kind of his elect. Therefore, Job is symbolic of God's election even for the final generation, because Satan's going to wool him around all he can. And it gives you an example of how you are to handle yourself, to use discernment. Job, if he were the son of Issachar, as it is written in Genesis chapter 46, verse 13, then certainly we know that who he was of, and I have no reason to doubt that what he is, that Job of Genesis 46, 13, because Job is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, book in the Bible. Job lived from a time which would be about 1700 down to 1516 B.C. He would have been living during the time even of Moses, if you would, so, or rather within reach of the fact that Moses could be the writer of this book. Of course, God caused it to happen, because what this is going to do, you're going to find that he's got three friends. And are they of Issachar, or are they of Judah, or are they of Israel? No. They're from Esau. And God will ultimately say in the end, what do you want to listen to people that don't know anything about anything? So we're going to have a long feast here on ratchety, 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 a bunch of ratchet jaws. And what God wants you to learn to do, even though they will give a lot of truth, they're going to twist it just like Satan does. How sharp are you? I have heard ministers in their ignorance preach some of the messages given by those three. I guess they didn't read chapter 40 where God said they were ignorant. But I guess maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe they were too. I don't know. But I mean, teaching it as the gospel. Why? Because it's written in the Word. Well, it's written in the Word, but it's God wants you to discern between truth and ignorance. The word ignorance really upsets some people. It doesn't mean the person necessarily is ignorant, but the person is ignorant of the facts. There's a big difference. And that's what this book of Job is about, is to help you think for yourself, to be able to determine the value that you can place upon the great advice of people. And I'm going to tell you what, I got some good news and I got some bad news. You want to be real careful when you listen to people rather than God. That's kind of what Job is about. And many might say, well, should we believe the book of Job? You bet. You know why? Job is reported in 57 scriptural references in other books of the Bible. 57 times. I call that very good credentials. Again, in case you missed the scripture for the fact that there was a Job who was the son of Issachar, it's in Genesis 46:13. I would advise you make a note of that. Does that make a great deal of difference? Not really, but it's best for you to know, all right? And I tend to agree that this particular one was the Job that we're covering here. Persecuted meaning why? What? Because Satan's going to persecute him, just as he will you. Only we have a great leverage, just like God has given us a big old crowbar that we can even up the load. And that is to say, the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we can put Satan on the run. Job couldn't for some time. But ultimately, he will be double blessed, which is the blessing of one of the first fruits. That's why you can just put it in your book. Job is a type of election, the elect of the last generation. So certainly the book applies to you. There will also be prophecy in this book, and I'll stop here in a moment and we'll get cracking right into it. He will also be blessed in as much as his children will be taken away in children at the close of the book, and it's very meaningful. Remember that point. It will be several lectures hence, but we'll get there. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1, and it reads, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job," meaning persecuted. "And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God." He revered him, loved God with all his heart, and eschewed evil. He hated evil. I mean, he couldn't stand it. He would always put evil out of his family and his camp. Verse 2. "And there was born unto him 7 sons," there's that spiritual perfection, the number, "and 3 daughters." And it's important that you remember this count. That's 10 of them. And I'm going to tell you beforehand, that is symbolic. Symbolically speaking, the 10 opposers of the 10 times will be certain to and at that time. "His substance also was 7,000 sheep." There is that good number again, spiritual completeness, and sheep being symbolic of our people. "And 3,000 camels." That's a lot. 3 being the perfect number, and camels, of course, being unclean, but animals of transport and commerce. "And 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household." So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And that is to say, to the east of Jerusalem, not that he was from the far east. All right? Verse 4. "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day." This was their birth date, so the day they set aside. "And sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them." So we see a close-knit family. Why is it important here that we note their day? Because of their birthright. This very verse is placed here to let you know that your birthright is very important to you. Verse 5. "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." In other words, it was a going thing to present sin offerings for his children. He didn't even check to see if they had sinned, but I suppose what God wants you to see in this is, hey, I'm not going to use the term kids or kids. I'm going to use the term people or people. And that natural sense entered in, and Job was wise enough to know it, to recognize it, just as you should be today. Don't expect perfection. The word in the Greek most often translates maturity anyway when it has to do with man. Because there is no perfect human being. And if you expect it, you're just whistling Dixie. Verse 6. We're going to change a little bit. "Now there was a day when the sons of God," this is angelic beings, "came to present themselves before the Lord," Yahweh, all right? "And Satan came also among them." Now the article, the definite article is with this, so that you don't get this mixed up with some spook, some demonic, or something else. The definite article to say in the Hebrew, ha Satan, which is to say, the Satan. See, there's only one. The same as there's only one Christ. The adversary. as some in the Hebrew tongue might prefer. Same difference. Verse 7. Satan is right there with the sons of God, the angels in heaven, the Elohim. That really upsets some people. Well, I don't like Satan being in heaven. Well, tough luck, friend. You see, to be absent from a flesh body is to be present with the Lord. So where else has he got? Hell doesn't exist yet. The only use of it is a type being sold, which is the grave tomb sepulchre, or Gehenna, a garbage pit outside Jerusalem. The lake of fire is hell indeed. And it shall exist because this one Satan, as it is written in Ezekiel 28, has already been condemned to die there. Verse 7 again. And the Lord said unto Satan, we got a conversation going here with him. Whence comest thou? Question. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now, his spirit can go to and fro in the earth anymore, but he can't walk in it. Why? Michael's got a stranglehold on him until he kicks him out of heaven, as it's written in Revelation 12:7. So here he is. At this time, Christ would say, get behind me. That's where he is today. Christ is at the right hand of God. Satan's behind him, helped by Michael. And he will be there until he who lets will let him go. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And I want you to, I could not read that with more pride in God's voice than, have you seen my son Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God. He loves me and escheweth evil. Now, do you understand that that's the way God likes to think of all of his elect, his children that were chosen before the foundations of the earth, as it is written in Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4? Do you know that he wants to be proud of you? I don't know. How do you act? He wants to be able to say that to Satan about you. Because after all, you were chosen, right? Well, if you know God's truth, all others were sent the spirit of slumber, so you're in that category, like it or lump it. If you have knowledge of the fact that Satan comes first to deceive the world, this self same Ha Satan, Satan, whatever name you want to call him by, the serpent, Diablo, whatever language you wish to speak it in. Same difference. There's only one. Uno. So, here we have him, and I want you to see how God takes delight. I know that I say many times, when you pray and let him know that you love him, it makes his day. He is very aware of his election. Very aware to the point that he wants you to do him proud. Now, Satan's going to try to tear that up at every chance he gets. I don't know. How are you doing? How are you doing? Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? I mean, think about it. What Satan is saying here. You've made him a rich man and you protect him every move he makes. What do you expect? That's the only reason he loves you, God. Satan has a way of getting right down where the rubber meets the road as far as human instincts go. I mean, if a man has a weakness, he'll get to it. He said, do you think that he loves you because you're God and he is Job? He loves you because you give him everything. He's rich. Verse 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, if you ever wonder, does God bless people? Yes, he does. That documents even Satan admitting to it. It's telling God, well, if you didn't bless him so much, and you've got that hedge built around him, so I can't get to him. Well, why do you think, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you put God, the wall around you, and you have the power and authority to do it, that He can't reach you in this generation? And within that, God blesses you if He loves you, and if you love Him, if you obey Him. And quite frankly, He likes to be proud of you. He likes it when Satan tempts you, if you ever let him get that close. He likes it when you take names and kick dragons. All right? It just does him good. Gives him his smile for the day. Verse 11. But put forth thine hand now. God, you take your hand off of him and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You take that away from him, God, he'll curse you. Now, that's kind of one of the questions. Did Job ever curse God? No. Never did. Everything he has materially will be taken away here in this same chapter. But I guarantee you, Job will not curse God. He will wonder why it happened. Unfortunately, it's going to be many chapters before we find out why it happened from God's mouth. But there's a lot of people going to try to explain it to Job. I don't know, how sharp are you? Do you listen to people or do you listen to God? That's what this lesson is about. Old Satan saying, he'll curse you if you put a hand and destroy what he's got. 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. Hoppity-doo. Satan's got an open play here. God is going to allow him to really tear up Job's house, to persecute him as no one has ever been persecuted before to this time. And praise God, most likely not since. Even down to Christ and the crucifixion, which would be the ultimate of persecution, but be that as it may. Does God know his son Job? I think so. 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters, this is Job, were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Nice family gathering. 14. And there came a messenger unto Job, and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. 15. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Pretty bad joke, you know. That's quite a herd. 16. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another coming over the ridge there and said, the fire of God is falling from heaven. It wasn't from God this time. And hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Quite a herd gone. 7,000 sheep. Hey, if you let Satan, he will tear you up. Learn from Job's example. Learn from his persecution, whereby in the name of Christ, you can put a stop to it at any time you choose when Satan starts messing with your sheep. 17. While he was yet speaking, there came another, also another. When's it going to end? When everything is gone. And said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. There goes all the... I mean, that's like taking your freight train in modern day and doing away with it. The transportation for commerce and trade is gone. No way to go to market here. It didn't matter too much because we got nothing to market anyway. Poor Job. 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Your family's gone. All your children. Wiped out. I'm going to tell you what, this is a lot of bad news to receive in one day before one gets out of sight. Verse 20. Then Job arose and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. That's quite contrary to what many people would do. You see, Satan said he's going to curse you. No, quite the contrary. Job worshiped. Don't forget that. Verse 21. And said, this is Job's words, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is the most common verse that is used at many funerals. Yours truly being one of the participants as well, 22. "In all this Job sinned not." This is important, beloved. "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." It's real easy. You know, this is why I know some of you get upset when I'm trying to remember back when the last time it happened, but many times I get questions from viewers about, why did God allow this? Why did God do that? This is why I want you to be real careful what you accuse God of. Like the young man quoted David numbering the tribes, said God caused David to number the tribes of Israel, or something to that effect. God didn't have anything to do with it. David did it. So, God takes a very dim view of people saying, "Well, I wonder why God did that." Do you know who did this? I mean, we've covered this pretty well, and I'm almost an average teacher anyway. Maybe some people even think I'm a good average teacher. And I hope I made it clear, it was Satan that went to God, and God said, "Satan, you can do those things." So my question would be to you, who did it? And you'd better have the answer, or I'm going to be disappointed in you. Satan did it. Why should Job curse God when Satan did it? There is one thing. Job may have been a little confused about friends. Instead of friends, he had a bunch of ratchet jaws. Yakety, yakety, yakety. Here, we'll find out in a lecture or two. Got all kinds of advice and all this, that, and the other. And do you know what? They'll give some pretty fair lectures occasionally, and then they'll turn right around and say, "Job, you know you've sinned. This is on you because of your actions." They're hypocrites. Job didn't sin. And it's important that you hang on to that, because he's going to be accused of it. God doesn't like that either. So I suppose that Job is just a great big lesson in yakety yak, and a person being able to focus their mind on reality. What is the reality of the situation thus far? Job sinned not. Job worshiped God. Satan took away everything he had practically. Leave it up to Satan. Hey. You think God was rejoicing, or do you think Satan was in heaven? Chapter 2, verse 1. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." You think this doesn't still happen? Do you know why Satan's called the adversary? Because he's your accuser in heaven. "And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." Give account. Verse 2, what did he accuse you of the last time he appeared before the Lord? You know what that guy called, or lady did, that calls himself the elect God? You know what I saw him do? Think about it. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? Question. And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. This is an idiom, and I won't go into it. It means I've been covering my bases. 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou, and then there's a little, God is kind of jabbing the needle here a little bit. Hast thou considered my servant Job? You getting anywhere with him? Of course, Satan wasn't. And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man. God hasn't lost confidence. Has he lost confidence in you? Don't start accusing God or he will quickly. One that feareth God, correctly translated, revereth, loveth, and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. God said he holdeth fast his integrity. His thought process is working very well. He's focused. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. In other words, you have chided me into allowing you to do this without cause. What does that mean? Without cause. Job hadn't done anything. Job didn't deserve any of that. Oh, that's a bitter pill in life. Yeah, it is. But God expects the very best from his elect. This is why I don't like people to get on pity parties. God has a purpose and a plan, and though you may not know what you're doing, he knows what he's doing, and if you're one of his election, you're a part of it. So shape up. God still loves him. And just that quick, he can restore everything. Really? No. We got a lot to learn from this. And it's for your benefit. Verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. This is to say, skin for skin is kind of like saying, all he's doing is protecting his own skin. And he knows that he'll give everything up to save his soul. Verse 5. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. Let me get to him just a little bit. And he will curse thee to thy face. In other words, take that skin of old Job's and let's put a few boils on it. 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now, number one, I don't want you to overlook something. I mean, and it's real easy to do because Job's getting a bad deal here. But I don't want you to overlook the fact of who's in charge. Satan couldn't do a thing to Job, even at this time, without God's permission. God stating, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Why am I saying this? It's important. It's important that you know, even though Satan might be having a heyday, God's in charge, and there is a purpose within it. Hang tight. Many might think the way this read, God's doing. No, he says, I put him in your hand. He allowed Satan to do it. Thank God we have Luke chapter 10, verse 19, whereas Christ himself, our intercessor, fixed it. So we don't have to do this unless you want to. If you want to let Satan challenge you and eat up everything you've got, let him. But you don't have to. You can do something about it. You can reinstate the wall at any moment. 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of God, of the Lord, and smote Job with sore balls. Who smote him? Boils, rather. From the sole of his foot unto his crown. I mean, he fixed him from head to toe, skin for skin. Well, you talk about suffering. You know what Job did? Verse 8. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. What a mess. And he sat down among the ashes. I mean, now this is a poor, miserable wretch at this time. I don't know. From the sole of his feet unto his crown. Have you ever had boils on the bottom of your feet? Do you know what that does when you walk? You better understand why he was sitting. Of course, he had boils there too. I mean, that's misery. Pure, I mean, deep down misery. Will Job crack? I don't know. Verse 9. And this probably hurt him worse than anything. Verse 9. Then said his wife, and this is about all he's got left is his wife. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? You still got your mind? Is it sharp? Are you focused? Curse God and die. Boy, I mean, you know, with a wife like that, who needs enemies? I tell you, she went one of your own and is very close to you, cuts loose with something like that. Now, Satan had gotten to her. Satan himself, no doubt, brought those words out of her mouth. But this poor, miserable, I mean, he had to be in misery with these boils on his feet all the way to the crown of his head. And I mean, bad. Just a potsherd just to rake off scabs. And I mean, this is bad. Many people would lose it right here. So you see, he lost his wife there too. By that I mean, Satan took her. She may have run. I won't say that. Verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Question. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. You know, that is a very intelligent statement. And don't think Job said God is doing this. He knows that it has a purpose or God would not be allowing it. Because Job knows something within his own heart. I haven't sinned. I'm innocent. And when you know you're innocent, and all you have to do, though we're imperfect, repent. And you are innocent. When you repent, if things are going real, real bad for you, you totally repent. He will forgive you. And then if it continues on in your life, you know that God, some way or another, there's a lesson in this for you. Whether it be hardship or whatever the case may be. So, I tell you what, Job is mighty low. He's at a low point in his life. He's lost all of his money. Lost his property. That is to say, his chattel-type property, cattle and so forth. His family, that hurt worse than anything. And then to have his wife make a statement like this while he's in this mourning, state of mourning, that's what ashes are about. No doubt in great pain. And then to have his wife say something like that, that had to hurt right to the core. Will he break? Well, I don't know. God's awful proud of him. Let's see what happens in the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?